the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
The Huskies got a 2-1. Bring it up across the line. Ian Smith looking in front. Sasha just scores! This is it! Put it in!
I am a Uper.
They'll flip it up for Reitmeier. He holds it in. Here comes Grayson Reitmeier. He'll shoot! Scores!
I love UP.
Oh, what a play by Michigan Tech!
And my heart is here.
Save it for Misiak. Misiak, wraparound attempt. Right to the front of the goal. It's behind him! Scores! It's in the net!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turbo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are all ready to go with the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93. Thank you so much for tuning in today. The Huskies coming off a weekend at home against the second and third ranked Minnesota State Mavericks. Good morning, Coach Schott. How are you?
Good morning, Dirk. And I want to start out by making sure that we thank all the veterans today.
Absolutely.
All the veterans that have past and present that have done so much to allow us the opportunity to have sport and all the things that we enjoy in our country.
I second that, and absolutely. Yeah, happy Veterans Day to all the veterans out there from all of us here at Mix 93 in Michigan Tech Hockey. Well, Coach, it was we knew it would be a tough weekend. A very good team came in here in Minnesota State, and they sure didn't disappoint as far as their talent. They are very talented top to bottom.
Talent, work ethic, everything that they do, their accountability structure is outstanding. We said going into the weekend that what they have the ability to do is to make teams completely get out of their game, completely get out of their game with the pressure that they put on. You'll see them play some of the best teams in the country and make guys make mistakes that they don't normally make. It'd be like playing against, in an NFL game where you're playing against, where a team's defense is so good that they're able to make a guy like Aaron Rodgers do things that they don't normally do, make plays, hurry throws, do things like that. On the positive side of it, I thought our guys handled that pressure extremely well. Only a few lapses. We were able to get the puck out of our zone. Only a few lapses where they had sustained pressure against us. Only a few lapses where they had good neutral zone counter opportunities against us in odd man rush situations. They capitalize on those when they get them, and they're good, and they're good enough to do that. And I thought that we did a good job of creating some turnovers on our forecheck and doing some things that were good. So I thought our guys handled it about, maybe not as well as you possibly could, but certainly grew in our team structure and our game. And I didn't come out of it being displeased playing the second ranked team in the country. If you look at it, the last two games, their last two series we played, North Dakota and Mankato, they're number one and number two in the country in team defense. Number one and number two in the country. So no one is generating a lot against them. And I thought we were able to do a pretty good job on the weekend. It's hard. You want it to be hard. It needs to be hard in order for you to grow. And it was certainly hard to create any offense, but we were able to get better and grow, especially in our last three games.
What's special about Minnesota State, I think, is that, a lot of times you see these teams that have, they're so deep, all four lines, all six, three pairs of defensemen, and then sometimes they have a little bit of a weak goaltender or something that you might feel. You got Dryden McKay back there, and he made some really big saves against us.
Yeah, their team, they need games like we gave them as well, because they don't get those all the time throughout the year. And this is a team that could win the national title. They're good enough to win the national title. They're deep enough. They have no disrespect at all, and I'm going to certainly get in trouble on this show because we have no guests coming in to take up time. And this is no disrespect to our players in any way, but they have four forwards sitting out because they returned their whole team. They have four forwards. I mean, Sauter, their top scoring player, whether he was hurt or not, top scoring player on their team, is a freshman. They didn't play him Saturday night against us. They have four forwards, five forwards at least, that would be in our top six, because of you know, because they had those guys recruited and they had to come in because of birth dates and things, and they didn't graduate anybody that you know, that made room for them. So they have some very good freshmen playing. They have some very good freshmen not playing. They're a deep team, and I thought our guys stood toe-to-toe with them. I think that their coaching staff probably feels that was a great test for their team. And they're a good hockey team. You know, they beat Bowling Green, and we could go 5-1. So they're a good, deep hockey team, and all the teams we're playing right now are very good. I'm happy with our guys.
Coach, one question I wanted to ask you right away today, because it's been on my mind, especially after watching this series. No, it's a good thing. I'm noticing a lot less turnovers by us. Is that true?
I mean, absolutely. Here we're breaking out, like I said, we're breaking out better, we're managing neutral ice better, we're handling we're creating forechecking. It's not like, you know, we're not giving up much. We are not giving up much. We gave up 2 goals with an empty net at North Dakota. Gave up 2 goals with an empty net at North Dakota. We gave up 5 on the weekend this weekend. We gave up 5 to Bowling Green. We gave up 5 to on the weekend now. We're talking about on the weekend. To Alaska. We gave up 1 on the weekend to Robert Morris. We're not giving up a ton, which means that we're managing the puck fairly well, and we're competing hard, and we're playing good teams. I mean, Alaska beat Arizona State again this week, and we talk about it. They're, you know, people expect that to be something different than it is. They're a heck of a hockey team. You know, they went in and shut out Penn State. I believe that might be Penn State's only loss in the year. I'm not positive on that, but they went in and shut out Penn State. I know Penn State has 7 wins, so they might have 2 losses.
I think they lost this weekend, but
didn't they? Yeah, well, they have 7 wins. I know
right,
that. They
right.
have as many wins as any team in the country. So they're doing their job. Alaska's a good hockey team. We're playing all these teams extremely, extremely well. And managing the puck fairly well. And what we have to do is continue to grow offensively, and create offensive opportunity. That's going to come off of compete and turning it up a level when we get the puck. We're getting better and better and better at that. Guys are getting experience at that. We're still certainly a couple forwards away within our group. If we had 2 more impact forwards, I think our season would look a lot different right now. We have to develop that from within. The guys are working hard to do that. I don't come out with a negative feeling, especially based on the teams we're playing. Now, our fan base may feel completely different. You know, their expectations are high, and I think that's a great thing. We don't want to lose. I want that pressure, on me, on us as a program. I don't want people to get lethargic with the expectations of the program. Our expectations are high from within. But I know where we're at, and I know what we're doing, and I know where our strengths are and our weaknesses are, and I applaud our players for how hard they're working. We still have to work a ton harder offensively. We have to work harder offensively than we do defensively, because teams on man-for-man coverages and things are competing hard against us as well. We have to work really hard to create our offensive opportunities. We're getting better and better and better at that, but we can't sacrifice and cheat on the other side of it. Now, one thing that where I was going to head with this, we aren't playing a boring style of hockey. We're not sitting back and trapping and saying, okay, we're only going to score, you know, 1 or 2 goals, so we can't give up anything. We're still getting after it. We're extremely aggressive on the forecheck. We're aggressive on our neutral zone forecheck. We're aggressive on our D zone cover, which is creating turnovers, which is where we're learning to be better offensively. If you don't play aggressively, you're never gonna. If you're sitting back and waiting for teams to come at you, they're gonna rack up scoring chances on you, and you're just hanging on, relying on goaltending and relying on them to make one mistake. We're not playing that way. We're playing the way I think that you have to play for sustained growth and for to develop a program that's going to compete nationally every year. We're playing that way, and we'll continue to grow in that fashion.
So, can you just give us a simple explanation on the lack of scoring? Is it a matter of just guys aren't able to make plays right now, or is it they're, you know, what is it that, you know, because like you said, we're going after it, we're making we're doing great things along the wall. We're getting possession of the puck. What is it, I guess, in layman's terms, why we're not scoring right now?
Okay, well, this is where I get in trouble. The bottom line is we've scored.
I want you to get in trouble.
We've scored 19 goals, and 16 of them have been from freshman and sophomore. Mm-hmm. And I honestly don't think, and I said it often, I don't think we had a tremendous amount of growth in the second half of last year. I think we had a lot of internal issues that you know we've addressed. We've come out of on the other side that got us going the other way and set back our development a year ago, in my opinion, in the second half. So a lot of those freshmen are still coming out of and still learning. A very good freshman class last year are still learning how to create consistent offense at this level, and they're going to do that. Bliss is a tremendous player. You're seeing that growing every week. Botts is a tremendous player. Alec Broachman is a tremendous player that's growing week in after week. Parker Soretsky is a tremendous player with a good brain that's getting better. Logan Pietla, a freshman, is a tremendous player. I think Justin Misiak, as a junior right now, one of our upperclassmen, could be our most impactful player on our team. He made a great play, no assist on the goal that Donahue got this weekend, made a great play on a forecheck on separation and with his pressure that created a loose puck, created Mankato to make a mistake in their D zone, and it created a loose puck in the slot where Misiak stepped up. It's really, in a lot of ways, and this is no fault of any, we don't have a junior and senior class that's giving us a tremendous amount of production. That's just what it is. We know the recruiting issues that we had when we came in and took the job. We talked about it. I think a lot of people were fooled, saying that there was going to be no setback in any way in our first year when we won another playoff championship. But I give so much of that to the play of, and I've said this, to Mark Ock, to Brent Baltus, to Joel Lesperance, who may have been the best player in the country when he left there. Those guys just learned and led and held some personalities in check and got better and better and better, and we shortened the bench. Mitch Rentke, I mean, those are Dane Burks. We had some upperclassmen that still that did a great job for us. And absolutely, Mark Ock was a 30-plus point defenseman for us in his senior year, being injured with a major concussion for a major part of the year. Those guys did an absolutely incredible job and kept, again, some tough personalities in check and allowed things to grow. Last year, we had a setback in that regard. This year, we were left with a very thin junior and you know, sophomore and junior class, recruiting wise, that turned into be our juniors and seniors last year, which are, you know, are a lot of our upper class this year. You know, we're just thin at that. We don't have a lot of seniors playing, and the contribution is they're working their tails off, but offensive production isn't high. So no excuses, but I think that's, you know, our freshmen, sophomores are where it's gonna have to come, and mostly we're asking our sophomores to take on the role of seniors. And they're doing a great job. They're getting better and better and better. And again, we didn't develop a ton in the second half of last year. I'll take full responsibility from that. That was locker room management is what it was. And I chose not to get in fights, and make high demands. I chose to wait and make sure that our culture stayed as good as it possibly could. And then knowing that this year we really wanted to work on our culture, get it better and grow. And we're doing that, and I feel good about where we're headed. I really feel really good about where we're headed.
Well, let's take a look at the first night, Coach. It was a 3-0 final, 31-31.
3-1. Oh, 3-0, you're right.
Yeah, 3-0 final. 31-31 were the shots on goal. No scoring in the first period, and we really came out in that first period. I thought kind of pinned them up a little bit inside their zone.
Yeah, we did.
Pinned them up.
Yeah, I thought we did an excellent job. You're not going to go to any scoring because we didn't get any, but it was we played well. Our second period was our demise in that game. Saturday was much better. Saturday was a very good second period for us. We played extremely well. They got a goal, but we got a goal. We played extremely well in the second period. So I think we've made strides and moved towards solving that.
So I wanted to get your thoughts, Coach, on the 3-0 loss. As far as two of the goals were kind of, you know, we got a little frustrating because they were
below the goal line
goals.
Yeah.
You know, that can deflate a team too,
yep.
Especially when you're struggling to
score. Right.
I mean, just lack of communication between
them? Yeah, neither one of those would be considered scoring chances. So going in, they have two goals that aren't even on scoring chances. So they do deflate the bench a little bit, and I think we really humped the guys in the third and after the second period in a positive way, that we're better than that. We feel we're better than that. And I'll tell you what it did do, though. Here's what it did. I've been looking for an opportunity with a really tough schedule to get Blake Piedle in the game. He's a tremendous goaltender. This kid's a tremendous all-league performer in the USHL, been on US national teams, won national tournaments at the midget level. This kid is a quality goaltender. But I'm not going to throw him in. I've worked with a lot of goaltenders over the years, a lot of guys that have had good NHL careers. I wasn't going to lose him by giving him by setting him way back with a start. We haven't had many. This was our first home weekend after outside of our opening weekend at home in league play. I went with veterans in the opening weekend in league play. I went with Jurusic in the opening weekend for the most part. So, and I wasn't going to throw him in, although we brought him to North Dakota. I wasn't going to give him a start at North Dakota, top 10 team in the country, tremendous hockey team. I wasn't going to throw him in at Bowling Green, which is always a hostile environment. So we're down 2-0 after one. I told him going into the third, be ready because, you know, I may get you in the third period. Be ready. I want to get his feet wet. Sure. In a non-threatening environment. So when they scored early to go up 3-0, that really gave me not a critique on Robbie. Robbie's been doing a good job for us, but it gave me an opportunity to get Blake in a game. Now we're down 3-0. The game's not on the line. We have to make a big comeback to get in the game. Okay, so now it's a non-threatening environment against a good team at home where you've been practicing all the time to get comfortable, to see, okay, let's see what you can do, young man. And I thought he did really well. He didn't give up anything. He had a half a dozen scoring chances against, didn't give up any goals. So we thought, all right, let's give him a start. And I thought he showed himself very well. Both goals were good goals. The first one was we went for a block in front of the net. The puck popped out to the guy who beat us in coverage on the side and scored a good goal. The first one was we lost a battle in the neutral zone and they made a good play, took outside speed and walked in on a partial breakaway, and scored in the first period. So neither goals are his fault. In time, he'll come up with a save on one of those for us, but on the other scoring chances he had against, he was dead solid on them and did an excellent job for us. So that game gave us an opportunity to get him in and to get him a start on the weekend against the number two team in the country, and I think he showed well. So again, looking forward to our growth and where we're going, I'm happy with what he gave us.
Let's listen to that first goal that you're talking about, Michaelis with the pass. I wanted to ask you about what happened on this one. This was Saturday night. No scoring up until this point.
Loose puck for Michaelis. He'll spin around. Coming back the other way. Here's a chance to the Husky goal and a nice play and a goal. Girard with a beautiful move on Pietola as the Husky defense lost. Girard on the far side and Michaelis will get the assist. 1-0 Minnesota State with 15:05 left to go in the first period.
So just to kind of refresh everybody's memory who were either at the game or had watched it on the stream or whatever, the play was right in front of our bench by the blue line right there. And I heard Girard yell for the puck. And
on a line change.
On a line change, yelling for the puck. And Michaelis, I don't even really think, looked. He just threw it over there, and he picked it up off the wall. What did we not do right on that play?
It was the battle on the wall. I mean, it looked bad for our defenseman, but it wasn't really his cover. What happened was we had a winger on a stack man in the middle that's defending the outside lane for the most part. We have two guys stacked, and we had those guys in position. They did a line change, and the guy Gerard coming off the bench got in behind the forward on that. The real thing about it is that we had a forward change right at our bench.
Oh, okay.
So the battle, we won the battle really and put it to where that forward should be, and that forward was coming off the ice and really shouldn't have. He should stay in that battle. When the puck does whatever it does out of that battle, then he can come off in a safe fashion. But he came off, and before the other guy jumped on the ice, right where the puck was, Michaelis popped out of that and made a play that an All-American player makes. And he threw it to the open area, knowing that we have a three men in that battle, knowing that we were doing, in a tight line change there, and sprung the guy. So, it was really the line change on that and you know, I can't really even say it was losing the battle there, because we won the battle and chipped it to where that forward should have been, and we really should have been going 2-on-2 the other way. It was an unfortunate line change that that occurred on that in a tight situation, and we've got to just have to be smarter in those situations.
And we had a defenseman back who got back at right. time. Could that defenseman done something differently to help out there? I know it was a really kind of a tough play.
Well, within the way we play, we aren't going to have that defenseman stand on the far side of the ice. Mm-hmm. You know, we want him.
No, but I mean at the goal. You remember that one of our defensemen did get back.
Yeah, but that guy, that's our weak side D, and we weren't going to have him. He had the ice split in half.
Gotcha.
So he was at the midpoint of the ice. When Michaelis came out of that puck on the wall, you know, in between the blue line and the red line, he threw it cross ice to a guy that just came off the bench and took off skating. And so our guy just didn't catch up to him. He just wasn't able to catch up to him, but he had no cover until that guy came off the bench. So, really our weak side forward and a D would have covered that, but the whole play is dead if our guy doesn't change and come off the ice, because we won the battle and that's what everybody's looking at. But right when we were winning the battle, our guy stepped off the ice and that's what really caught us.
You talked about Donahue's goal a little bit and the great job of the forwards on that play. We'll talk more about that and hear the highlight in just a moment. It's all part of the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93. And if you have a question for Coach Schaan, email it in, DJ@themix93.com. The Joe Schaan Hour continues right after this.
At Principal, we get it. You have big plans for your money, but sometimes life has something else in mind. There are twists and turns you never see coming. Twists like job transfers and turns like new family members. Life doesn't always go according to plan. We can help you plan for that. Principal, investments, retirement, insurance. Start today at Principal.com.
Principal National Life and Principal Life Insurance Companies, Principal Global Investors, Principal Securities, Inc. Member SIPC, member companies of Principal Des Moines, Iowa.
Get to Kohl's this Sunday and Monday and stack the savings. Take an extra $10 off your $25 purchase. Plus, take an extra 15% off. Plus, take an extra $10 off your $50 home sale purchase. Plus, get Kohl's cash right now at Kohl's. $10 off $25 offer valid November 10th and 11th with promo code VETSDAY. 15% offer with promo code SHOP15 and home offer with promo code ENTERTAIN10. Valid November 7th through 17th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Right now, I'm holding a perfectly ice-cold Coors Light. You know how I know it's the perfect temperature? Because the mountain on the can is blue. And also, it's really cold. Every Coors Light is cold-filtered, cold-lagered, and cold-packaged. Notice how many times I said cold? 3 times. It's that cold. So make sure the mountain on your can of Coors Light is blue, because that means it's ready to enjoy. 2019 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Triv Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Triv Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
Welcome back to the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. We are talking about the series between Michigan Tech and the Minnesota State Mankato Mavericks this past week, and over 3,100 in Friday night's games. And on Friday night's game, I didn't get the attendance for Saturday night, but good crowds both nights. I wanted to talk about the only goal we had on the weekend, Coach. It was Seamus Donahue, who was able to bang one home after some great work in the corner by one of our lines. And let's take a listen to the goal here first.
Bliss now protected the puck. Nice job there by Mackey to tie up Bliss. Puck is loose, goes right to the front. Here's Donahue with a shot, and he scores! Donahue picked up a loose puck and buried it past goaltender McKay. The Huskies get their first goal in a long time and tie it up 1-1.
Well, it was Trenton Bliss, Misiak, and help me out with the other name there that was in the corner on that line.
Blisser was in there, for sure.
Yeah, Bliss, Logan Pietola,
yeah, and Logan made a good play, too.
Did a great job.
Yeah, they did an excellent job.
Just battling down there and forcing that puck loose, right?
Yeah, what happened was there was a good battle going on, and then Misiak read it as an F3 and read a good situation. He reestablished his coverage area and got good separation. He took away the opponent's hands. He's extremely effective forechecker, number one for his speed, but number two for his tenacity. He took away the forward's hands, and then it was Blisser and Logan Piedla who were kind of forcing the loose puck area. The puck bounced, their guy whacked at it, and it went off of Blisser and bounced right to Donahue in front. So it was just, that hard-working, aggressive pressure that you need to have all the time, because if you have it all the time, it's just like math. The more you do division, you might say to yourself, I don't get this when you're a young kid. I don't get it so hard. Then all of a sudden you get it, and then you're on to, multiplication. Then you get that, and then you're on to, trig, and then you're on to, algebra 2. Once you get something down, you grow past that and you go on to another level, but you have to first master a certain phase of it to get onto that. And our guys are working so hard to master those areas and more scoring chances. As you saw, we generated more offense against Bowling Green than we did against Alaska. We generated more offense at North Dakota than we did against Bowling Green. And this weekend we generated more offense against Mankato than we did against North Dakota. So it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. It's a work in progress.
The final goal of the weekend came in the second period. This was a tough one. The Huskies got caught out there a little bit too long, it looked like, there, and they got the what turned out to be the game-winning goal.
Huskies need a whistle here. 3:10 left to go. Back for Hookinson at the point. He'll shoot it through traffic. Save made there. Rebound scored! Tuomi with the goal as he got the second opportunity. The Huskies just could not get it outside of the zone, and the Mavericks take their second lead of the game.
So what did you see on that goal, Coach, that could have been
We turned
there?
The puck over twice in the zone. We had it twice with easy opportunities to clear, and we're flat-footed and looking to make a pass, standing still, where they pursue. They never give up. And that's what I said before. They make you better. We were able to show just a couple instances on our Saturday morning prep work exactly what I was talking about, that they don't give up, and scoring chances that they created Friday. When we finally get the puck and it's like, you take that deep breath, but they don't give up. They chase you down from behind. They steal the puck from you. Like we're starting to get very good at. They steal the puck from you and they turn it right away into the quickest shot that you can, the quickest turnover transition that you're going to see all year long. They never let up. And that's why teams start panicking. On that instance, we had two chances to clear and we didn't clear them, and they were able to turn it into a shot on goal. In front of the net, our defenseman went for the block, which is what we want on those wrist shots. And the block went straight out. Their guy stepped out to the side when we were blocking the puck. It was bang, bang. And, he put the puck into the open net on the side.
So, Coach, we were 0-for-7 on the power play on the weekend. I know that I'm certainly seeing some good things on the power play. Where do you think we're at with our power play right now?
Well, we're getting the puck in the zone. We're moving the puck in the zone, and we're generating scoring chances. You look at Sawyer had a great chance on the power play on Friday. Goetze hit the goalie's knob on the power play on Friday. We had another scoring chance. We had three scoring chances, good scoring chances, quality on Friday. On Saturday, in the second period, we had a great play from Smitty to Botts, where the goaltender, I don't know if he saw it or if he, but it was an incredible save on a shot pass in the slot. We had Goetze again walk in and fire one over the net. We had Smitty with a shot right in the middle. We had Sawyer with a shot in the middle that were blocked. So we're creating scoring chances. We're spending time in the zone. We had the backdoor play where Parentino had a wide open net.
Oh, yeah.
And what didn't get in there and grind his way into, he could have just put that puck on the stick and then just pushed it in the net, and he tried to tap it in, and the goalie reached back and stopped it on the goal line on a scrambler. So, number of good scoring chances. The good Lord's making it hard for us right now, which is good. We're not coming out with what we want to come out with, but we also don't want anything to come easy, because if it comes too easy, then we'll start shortcutting. So, it's everything. We're having to work for everything right now, and that's going to make us better. I really feel good about where it's heading. I feel good about the guys that cheated before are not cheating now. Guys that are playing soft in different areas are standing out in a game with that softness is standing out, and even guys on the bench, you know, we're getting great leadership on the bench out of Botts and out of Blisser. They're really challenging guys to be more accountable, to make plays, not to just give it up, not to just give it back, you know, not to just dump it in. Make plays when you have a chance, and when you don't have a chance, make the read and we'll get the puck in and go get it on the forecheck. So there's a lot of good things going on. I don't want to say we're certainly not there. We're a long way away from being where we need to be, but we're heading in the right direction with the right guys driving the bus that I honestly feel we're going to get there. We do need to recruit a couple of top end forwards to get in here and help us. We need to, you know, still recruit top end defensemen to get in here and help us. But I think we're getting there. We're turning it, and I like where we're headed.
You look at on the flip side. I know our power play is struggling number wise, but on the flip side, the penalty kill has been. Yes, we gave up that power play goal to them on the 5-minute major, but we're over 85% on the penalty kill. I know as a coach, you like to be right around that 90%, but that looks good right now.
Yeah, and really, it's early in the year. Bowling Green got a couple of power play goals on us there that changes our percentage a little bit, and one of these, you know, we took a 5-minute major the other night. They scored on the first part of it. You know, you have another 4.5, and they scored early on it, maybe right. 15 seconds in. Then you have 4.5 minutes to kill, and that only counts as one power play against. You know, one of our power plays that we had Saturday night is like a 7-second deal where we were shorthanded, and then they get a power play.
4 seconds, know. I think.
Yeah, so whatever it was. So, yeah. You know, that's not even a really a power play opportunity. So, I'm not gonna get down. I'm not gonna challenge guys, you know, in this form like I did last year, because I do think that every indicator to me, as far as work ethic, as far as culture, as far as locker room, as far as everything, every indicator is heading in the right direction. Our chances against are low. We're creating more and more scoring chances for. We're getting the puck in on the power play. We're generating offense on the power play. We're playing against tremendous hockey teams. Bowling Green, who's ranked in the top 16 when we played them. North Dakota, who's ranked in the top 10. Mankato, who's number 2. We're playing against good hockey teams. We have to make hay when we have to make hay, and we can't let down at all. But we have to continue to grow and we have to get some points. There's no question about that. We have to get points, but looking at the totality of it, we're headed where I want to be headed in the game. I can't, people want to win, but they can't come out saying that we didn't compete. You know, we didn't go after it. We didn't, you know, that how are they going to win doing things that way? You know, I think that hockey enthusiasts see, okay, we'd like to win, but we see what's going on here.
Coach, I wanted to get your thoughts on some of the other WCHA series and other non-conference action with WCHA teams from over the weekend. Alaska and Alabama, Huntsville tied 4-4. Anchorage got the extra point, I think, on that one. And then on Saturday night, it was I never got the final.
Anchorage won, I believe, on Friday, didn't they?
Yes. And, well, they won in the second
okay,
overtime.
I think Anchorage won them both. I think okay. They won Saturday 3-1 or something like that.
And then I wanted to get your thoughts on
Lake State Bemidji.
Yeah, Lake State Bemidji there.
In Bemidji. Bemidji plays well in their own rink, and they were, if you look at the shots on it, and we're watching the film right now. It started this morning, yesterday, breaking it down. Not necessarily 7-1, 5-1 games. You know that Lake State will come in and compete hard defensively. Everybody's going to compete hard against us defensively, and they should. We're the lowest scoring team in the league. They should come out, and we'd expect that. And they're saying, hey, if we can hold these guys to 2 goals, we'll beat them. And so that's what their challenge is against us. They got snake bit a little bit last weekend, so they'll be hungry certainly at home. The one good thing is coming from Sault Ste. Marie, I anticipate that being a relatively friendly environment this weekend, because that whole community is going out, is just going deer hunting. So unless they're going to get, you know, a big student section, and, you know, it may be. Now, hopefully we go there and it's a great environment for them and they get a big draw. But it is deer season over in the UP.
What a series between the St. Cloud Huskies and Northern Michigan University down at the
beginning. Yeah, how about Northern? Good for them. They were down by 3 goals in both games and came back, and one of them they tied and the other one they lost in overtime playing against St. Cloud. So, I think St. Cloud's going through a little bit of, that second year deal with a new coach. They had a great year last year, number one entering the playoffs. the national tournament. They were number one in the country. They got stung in the first round, and this year they're a little bit bit. Their record is 500 or below 500. You know, just like ours was last year with a second year coach, and you know, you get that first bit, that hump that first year, and then the second year, you know, you settle in a little bit. So, and Northern's taking advantage. They're scoring enough to win. They're scoring goals, and I give them a lot of credit.
We talked a little bit about Alaska and how well they're doing. They beat Arizona State on Friday night by a score of 4-3, and that's always a big win there. Arizona came back and won 4-0 on Saturday night, but Alaska showing that they're not just a fluky team at
no,
all.
No, they're a good hockey team. They've again, juniors and seniors, if you're relying on freshmen and sophomore to lead you, no matter how good they are. Well, a great example, look at Wisconsin. I believe they got swept this weekend. Wisconsin's got by far the number one recruiting class in the country. Top end, half a dozen first rounders, I believe. I mean, Caulfield and all those guys. And they got swept a week ago at Penn State. And then they at least lost Friday. I don't know how they did Saturday.
Well, mine is showing that they won on Friday, but my
who'd they play?
Omaha.
Maybe they won Friday. They lost Saturday, right? Okay. So they split on the weekend. I think Omaha took them on Saturday. So, but they're led by freshmen and sophomore. And it's hard to continually beat teams, no matter how good your freshman and sophomore are at this level. So they're going to be really good. Their deal right now is to keep those guys in their second and third year. Because if they can, they're developing these young guys and they'll be national, you know, they'll be in the, you know, national tournament, deep into the national tournament in time. But it's hard to win with freshmen and sophomore. We're led right now in a lot of ways by those young guys as well. Again, that's why I'm excited. That's where we're at. If you can play the ranked teams that we're playing as hard as we're playing them, and you are seeing offensive growth, you can't get down on the guys. You know, we have to just keep working and stay the course and keep working harder to create that offense.
All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll be back with some of your questions for Coach Sean. If you have one, you can send it in right now. DJ@themix93.com. That is if, of course, you're listening live here on Monday morning. If you're listening to the recording of this, don't send anything in. It won't help. We'll be back with the Joe Sean Hour right after this.
Whether our Huskies are on the turf, the ice, or the hardwood, show your Michigan Tech home team pride by sporting Husky apparel from University Images, the campus store, or online at bookstore.mtu.edu. If souvenirs are your game, we've got you covered there too. We're sure you'll find exactly what you're looking for when you visit us in person or online. Check our campus store and University Images social media feeds for our latest store news, promotions, and operating hours. Your support goes directly back to the local and campus communities, and always, we thank you for your patronage.
Two things go hand in hand in the Copper Country in November. That's the hunting season and Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. All 15 and 18 packs of beer are on sale. All Coke and 7-Up 2 liters are 2 for $3. Pepsi 1 and a quarter liters are 4 for $5. And Pepsi 12 packs of cans are 2 for $10. Pick up some locally made Skinny Pete's bagels for the camp. And stay warm with Keweenaw Alpaca gear. Bucko's has hunting licenses and deer feed. Get your party started at Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. All sales do not include tax and deposit.
18. This season, you can share a Coke with your team on it. So I'm going to tell you how with a little help from this quarterback.
Sell it! 44!
You can share a Coke when your team's up.
Red poncho!
You can share a Coke when your team's down.
Happy Jolly!
You can share a Coke with a coach, a mascot, or an MVP.
Chili, chili, chili!
You can even share a Coke with your rival on game day.
Turbo!
Or you can share a Coke when you're giving out your famous guacamole recipe in a completely packed stadium.
Cilantro, chopped onion, squeeze a lime, Roma tomato, hike!
Share a Coke with a fan this season.
Ice cold, delicious!
Share a Coke is back for the fall football season. We all know what comes with being a fan of the ups, the downs, and everything in between. Whether you've just won a big game and want to celebrate with fellow fans, or want to share a Coke with your best friend whose team just lost against their arch rival, Coca-Cola has something for you. Share a Coke with a teammate, rival, or a friend this season.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Joe Sean Hour here on Mix 93. Let's get to some of your questions for Coach Sean. First one, Coach, says this past weekend against Alaska, and I'm guessing this fan means against Minnesota State, you pulled goalies when there were only two or three goals scored against them. This seems excessive when there are games around the league with four, five, and six goals. Why do you pull them so quickly, and why do you switch goaltenders so much?
I think I addressed on the on earlier why I did it on this weekend. My goal, nothing against Robbie. I was looking for an opportunity, even to the point where I brought Blake Pedla to North Dakota, just in case at North Dakota playing, you know, a top 10 ranked team, things went a certain way that we could get him in again in the same type of environment, a non-threatening environment. This kid's a talented goaltender. All of our goaltenders are talented. So that's primarily the reason, this week. And I was looking for that opportunity to get Blake in a non-threatening environment so that we could see what he had. I mean, we have to see what we have going forward. You know, everybody wants to play, and I want to play the guys that practice well, which Blake has done, consistently practice well. And the other guys got the benefit of the doubt in starts earlier in the year. So that explains the goaltending situation, why we did that. The second part of that was,
well, she's veterans. Asking why do you switch goaltenders so much?
Okay, that's why I'm looking for, if a goaltender's not sharp, I want them to be sharp. You know, when you let in two goals, I think we did it for the same reason against Alaska earlier in the year, and we put Robbie in. Robbie hadn't played yet. Robbie practices very well. Jurusic had played every game, and two goals went in from the boards area, whether they're deflected or however they go. If you're giving up, you know, two goals on eight scoring chances or six scoring chances and we're playing well, sometimes you do things for momentum. So,
yeah.
I think one thing in goaltending, I think we've handled goaltending, you know, with Jamie Phillips being All-American here and throughout my career, they need to know the expectations of where we're at. Jamie developed very well here when he hadn't developed very, you know, the question was goaltending. That's why I was hired here, to develop goaltending. Then we went to a goaltending issue with Angus after Jamie left and developed Angus into the point where he signed after his first year. Mm-hmm. Then we bring in, after Angus, we have goaltending issues and things like that, and we get Packy Munson to the point where he's able to bring us to a playoff championship, you know, and then we work out from there. So we're looking for, I think we've gotten goaltending that's got us championships and things like that. It's still, nobody's entitled to anything at any time, and I want our team, the entire team, to know that. You perform you know, nothing more. I would like nothing more than to have a goaltender that you ride. But they have to be that goaltender. It just can't be a gift. You know, you can't look at Joe Sean and say, well, coach, come on, leave me in there. You know what I can do. Well, I know what you're doing. You know what I mean? If you're doing what's good enough, then you'll play. And if you're not, then, all our guys work hard for me in the net, and we're going to look for that guy that consistently gives us a chance to win and makes those saves when we need them to keep our team in a hockey game.
Next question, Coach. This listener says, you keep saying we have a young team, but yet a lot of our upperclassmen, including Ray, the captain, are sitting out. Why aren't they playing?
Because we have guys that Ray, I've said before, this is a tough question. I know it's a local thing. I can take that heat because I was the local guy that everybody in Sault Ste. Marie wanted in every game. And especially when we were at home, they wanted me playing. And I'm leading the country in goals against. I'm leading the country in save percentage. And I'm not playing every game at home. I get that. And I get the pressure that's on a coach for that. I understand that. I think I've been pretty straightforward with Ray and with everybody that Ray emulates everything about Michigan Tech hockey. When we're coming off a year last year where our culture was not good. Every indicator of a poor culture was evident in last year's group. So Ray loves, his work ethic's off the charts. His love for Michigan Tech hockey's off the charts. His love for the community's off the charts. That's why I named him captain. And he full well knew that there's chances he's going to be in and out of the lineup. The hard part for Ray is Ray's going to have to learn to handle that situation if he wants to be captain. But the reality is our obligation is to play the best players. They've been on a lot of scoring chances against, goals against, critical goals against at different times. So our obligation, we're not going to, our top nine, the question last week was something like this as well. And I said, our top nine, I think, are fairly comfortable. Misiak's fairly, and I don't mean comfortable, but they're growing and they're, you know, their game is evolving because it can. We do have a depth situation where other guys don't have the ability to bring more. And with that, we have to find the best we have out of that. I was happy with Crespi this weekend. That's going to create pressure on Ray and Poglase. I was happy with Crespi. He, the adjustments we asked him to make, the things we asked him to do, he did a good job. He did a really good job. He didn't hurt us on clears on D-zone cover, even though that line gave up the winning goal with two missed clears. There is that pressure to perform and to succeed, and no one can be gifted in that. They all have to earn it with repetitive play. The upperclassmen, if they can perform, they're in the lineup. If they can't perform, younger guys are going to be in the lineup. It doesn't matter to me who plays. What matters to me and to all of us is who's productive. Mm-hmm. And our production is coming from some younger guys that have skill and talent. And our fourth line is some older guys that are battling for that ice time, and they haven't grabbed it yet. No one has grabbed it yet, or else we'd be consistent in that. So that's just the way it is. No one can be entitled to anything. You know, over career, a lot of these same individuals have struggled. You know, a couple years ago, we played three lines through that whole run into the national tournament because we had to play three lines. And that's why coaches say it'll never happen again. These guys played three lines and they were all on the road and they did this and they did that. And we won because we had to do it that way. And if that's the way we have to do it right now, that's the way we'll do it right now. Until guys step up and we get our depth to the point where it's better.
Next question for Coach. Who would you say is your fastest skater on the team?
It'd be between Crespi and Misiak. Those two guys have burners. Misiak uses it well. He understands that. He may be our best forward. He may be our best forward right now. He probably is our best forward right now. Crespi, on the other hand, has to learn to get his speed more involved in the game, because his speed is really evident when he has the puck. And that's what I like about what he did on Saturday. His speed became a little bit evident when he didn't have the puck at times when he played, where he's pressuring on the forecheck. That's where Misiak does so much. He just closes on guys. We get the puck into areas and he closes on the defenders and makes them make hurried plays. Much like on the goal that we got on Saturday night. So, but the guys with the speed, I would say those two have the most quickness and all out speed.
I was going to ask you, is there a difference between quickness and speed?
Yeah, because Bretzman is fast, but he's not quick. Gotcha. You know what I mean? He's a power forward that has, you know, heavier legs and things like that. He doesn't have that dart quickness to go. You know, it's like a minnow going one place and another, and a pike. You know, a pike is a little bit slower. Now, I would have to say the pike is going to catch up to the minnow and eat it, for anybody who that offended, I apologize. But if it did, I mean, I never know what's going to offend somebody, but you know, and so you could say that those other guys are minnows and that a guy like Botts is more of a pike where he's bigger, but he's going to get there. He's in the long run, he's going to get there quick, and when he gets there, it's going to be with impact.
This listener follows up the fastest skater question with who has the hardest shot.
Dadama. Now, Bretzman has an incredibly hard shot, as does Bliss. Those guys have really good shot. They can shoot with, and they can score with range. And they've shown that they can do that. Well, look at the shot. Look at Bliss's shot on, yeah. I mean, off the crossbar. That's a 2-2 game. A great play by Rockwell.
Was that the crossbar? I thought it was the post. I don't know.
Well, it could have been the post, but it hit iron. Okay. And it beat the goaltender. Rockwell made a great play on that, a backhand pass over. I mean, that's a 2-2 game, and we're going to overtime. So, I mean, I give those guys tons of credit.
Next question, Coach. This listener says, you are correct in that some people want immediate results. I and many others can see the improvement in leaps and bounds. Can we become a dominant team?
Yeah, I think we can. I you know, when it's going to be. Our goal this year, and again, I don't even think my boss would like to hear it, but we need to get into the playoffs. You know, we're gonna every team in our league is gonna defend us hard. We have to score against everybody, or else we're gonna lose like those games to Alaska, 2-1 and 3-2. They're all gonna be like that if we can't open up create enough offense. They're all gonna be like that. Cause you can't expect to hold everybody to zero or one goal in every single game, especially when you're playing teams on the road. So they're all going to be hard. We have to get in the playoffs. So we have to win some games. We have to get points. Once we get in the playoffs, you're seeing that we can play with anybody. And then if our offense gets more consistently solid and stable, we can do damage in the playoffs. So can we do it? Yeah, I think I believe in my heart we can, because I believe we have the character, the work ethic and things. Do I think we're a couple players away from being a top four team right now and doing it? probably, we probably are a top four team, but if we can get confidence to put it together, again, it's hard to win with relying on that younger class and the whether or not, you know, some people like it. We are dependent on our younger class. I think everybody realizes that's where the guys that make difference in hockey games are coming from. So, now Smitty's done a great job for us. There's guys that have done an outstanding job. It hurt not having Fordo in the lineup this weekend. You know, those guys are, and Fordo's a senior. I'm talking about seniors. Jurusik is hungry right now to get in the net and play. He wants to play, and we want him to play and to do well for us. Badun did well at Bowling Green, and, you know, we went with him at North Dakota and did pretty well there, only allowing two goals. So we have good competition. That breeds things. You have to compete in anything, industry, anything. Competition makes it better, lowers prices, ups quality, does everything. And we have to have that, and I think we have that in a positive way.
Coach, next question. Can you talk about Buckley? And specifically on the penalty, without getting in trouble. I added the without getting in trouble part.
No, I think I can safely say I don't, you know, I'll say it this way. I don't think that got what it deserved, or it got more than it deserved, but I also think that Mankato stepped up and got a penalty they shouldn't have gotten,
right.
Whether they be in the third period or whatever. So, you can't hit anymore. You can't hit. Now, with that said, we work on not stepping up like that and playing it that way. We work on playing it differently, which he certainly could have done, and wouldn't even have gotten that call. And yet, did it change the momentum of the game? Absolutely, it changed it. You know, it's a 1-0 game. We're playing well. We had some chances early in the second period to make it 1-1. It was, you know, things were going okay. So, did it change it? Yeah, but that's the way it is. That's just the way it is.
All right. We'll take a break. Be back with more. We'll touch on the big series coming up with Damon Winton's Lake Superior State Lakers down in the Sioux when we can return on the Joe Sean Hour on Mix 93.
And now the sounds of friendship brought to you by Cricket Wireless.
Ay, 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 ay!
Translation, a greeting when you see a close acquaintance.
Faux freeze!
Translation, when your friend switches to Cricket and receives a free Samsung J2 Pure.
Fa fifth bump!
Translation, a casual yet excited bumping of two fists.
Smiles for days!
Translation, smile. You're on Cricket.
Ends November 21st. Must port in and activate new line on minimum $55 per month. Voice plan. First month service charge and tax due at sale. Activation fee $25. Additional fees, usage, and restrictions apply. See CricketWireless.com for details.
Flo here with a word that's just weird. Terry cloth. Who exactly is Terry? And why does he get his own fabric? Did he journey below SPF 50? Fight off some weeds and his daffodils? How about a word for everyone? Flotection. Yeah, I just made it up. But I'm not making up how great it feels when me and Progressive protect your new home. Ever think of that, Terry? No. Terry only thinks of himself.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
It takes hard work to reach goals. It's a truth that applies to more than sports. It goes for your financial goals as well. You work hard for your money. You deserve an investment strategy that lines up with your game plan. And your local Edward Jones financial advisor can help. If your investments aren't putting forth the effort, call me, John Nelson, your local Edward Jones financial advisor, at 482-8680 or stop by for a financial review. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Hello, would you like me to find workout classes near you?
There are no stores that sell glasses within 10 miles of your location.
There's enough artificial in the world. That's why Michelob Ultra is brewed with no artificial colors or flavors. With just 95 calories and 2.6 carbs, superior light beer. Enjoy responsibly. 2019 Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. 95 calories, 2.6 grams carbs, 0.6 grams protein, and 0.0 grams fat per 12 ounces.
Welcome back to the Joe Sean Hour here on Mix 93. The Huskies will take on UP rival Lake Superior State University this Friday and Saturday night. Both games are at 7:07. The Lakers not going with the early Saturday nights like some of the WCHA teams are this year, including the Huskies. But 7:07, 6:30 pregames here on Mix 93. This is a very good team under Coach Damon Winton that is just not winning right now, but we know how good they are.
Yeah, they do a good job. They do a good job. I think Damon does a good job coaching, and I think they do a really good job there. I want to go with something, like just so our fan, our supporters hear something about how things are. Brooksy was telling us, Chris Brooks was telling me, he was recommended him to read, how much time do we have?
You got time.
Okay, to read there was a sit-down conversation with Urban Meyer and Nick Saban, and there was a third party there that was doing nothing. I mean, two legendary coaches. Mm-hmm. Urban Meyer from Ohio State, who's, you know, just retired, and Nick Saban, who's obviously Alabama, the, you know, big-time coach. And this guy was just writing down what the conversation. And they're talking about how they run their programs. Urban Meyer said in this thing, and I can get it if people want to read it, but he said that with his team, they want to compete so badly that what they do is that if you compete to a satisfactory level as determined by the coaches, you get a different meal. You get, when you eat, you get steak and you get these things. And if you don't compete at the level that they want you to compete at, a message to you is you get a different meal, a much lesser meal than the guys that compete. And it's your job to earn the respect of the coaches that you compete hard enough to get what the other guys want. Not only that, but if you compete and you perform, you live in a certain dorm setting. And if you don't, you live in a lesser dorm setting. And my understanding is you get moved from dorm to dorm based on being in and out of that. So your goal is always to reach a standard, upper end standard. Now, how would that go over with some of the things that, you know, that I've heard and things like that? You know, we're just telling, you know, we try to tell it like it is with the players and things with a great fan base. But how does, like, think about that. Mm-hmm. Think about, like, I look at that and I think, oh, wow, you know, with food and everything. I'm not endorsing it. I'm not saying either way. But I'm saying top end elite programs, you never know the things that they do to hold the inner accountability within their group. And how would parents feel and locals feel if someone was getting treated that much differently than somebody else based on coach's perspective. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's really an interesting dynamic as to the level that we're at. We are Division I hockey, which is you can't have the entitlement phase and things like that. And that's why I'm so proud of where our guys are. You have to coach in a positive way. You absolutely have to do that. Or just keep your mouth shut, which is so much of what we did last year with our group when we were teaching and coaching and things like that. To stay as positive as you can, or at least try to avoid being extremely negative, you know what I mean? And just keep a standard set high.
Going back to Lake State.
Well, extremely well coached.
I'm just very similar schedule in that they had played some really good teams on the road.
Yeah, Notre Dame, Michigan.
They played number 2 Denver.
Yep.
At the Taffy Able Arena. They have a couple of sweeps under their belt already against Ferris State and Merrimack. They struggled a little bit this past weekend, as you mentioned, Coach. But the games were not the scores weren't really indicative of the games.
I don't believe they were. They're always good on the power play. They do a good job on the power play. They're with special teams, they're always good. They compete hard. I like their systems. I like a lot of the things they do in their systems. They usually transition the puck very well. So they're going to be hard. They're going to be hard to play against. They're a good quality hockey team. I think they have a top 4 caliber type hockey team. Caldwell's doing a very good job for them there. A sophomore, he's doing an excellent job, and they obviously have, is it Hummets?
Yeah, Hummets.
Tremendous
six
player.
Six goals already for him. Yeah. Sackerman already has 6 goals.
Yeah, on the defense. And those guys are juniors and seniors that are getting it done for them. So.
And they had our number last year too, which, they really had. Beat us in the championship
their team
game.
Last year was, in my opinion, as good as anybody in our league. They were, with Cuglietta and those guys, Nellis, all the players they had. They're extremely good. So it's going to be a great, great weekend. It'll come down to goaltending. It'll come down to special teams, in my opinion.
So, Coach, with the weekend that we had against Minnesota State and the good and the bad out of it, are there certain things that you, as a coaching staff, will emphasize this week in practice? Like, will there be more work on the power play or penalty kill or anything like that? Or?
No, I think we're... Everything will be indicative of the weekend on the things that we want in the weekend. There's changes that you make all the time to everybody you play. You have to be that way. There's in every aspect of your game, there has to be changes and things you do differently to give yourself success in what you believe to be success. And then it has to be executed. And then, a battle plan though is only good until the battle starts, and then it's all adjustments from that point on face offs and things like that. So,
So, nothing to interrupt, but so when you go home, like, to go back to the zoo, are there a lot of people you have to, you know, stop and say hi to? And
no.
No?
No.
You keep it pretty, pretty business-like, eh?
Yeah. You know, my close friends, I stay in touch with all the time anyways, and we have our property over there. We don't get into the zoo very much at all. Even we have our property. We try to get there as much as we can on the water that's about a half hour out of the city. It was family property, and we camp over there and things like that. And so we have a lot of interaction with friends that come down there. Very seldom do Laura and I get into the city. We have Laura's mom, still lives there, and you know, I'll try to stop there, bring them a Togo. They love Togos from, but other than that, I'm in close contact with the people that I spend most of my time with.
Coach, thank you very much. A great show today, and we wish you the best of luck down in the Sioux Friday and Saturday.
Great. Thanks, my friend.
Head coach Joe Sean here on the Joe Sean Hour. Thank you for all your questions, too. And we'll do it again next Monday here on Mix 93 WKMJ. The Huskies playing Friday and Saturday night. Listen to the game, 6:30, right here on Mix 93 WKMJ.